welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Hello, and welcome to the show. Thanks for sticking with us. We have some technical difficulties, but we're back. We persevere. Windstorms, sandstorms, rainstorms, Hurricane Sandy. We try our best to be on the air for you. So you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Like Ray said, baby, through it all, we try to bring it. So join us, please. A little bit late, just a half an hour late, but give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com and the website, very cool, slick-looking, interactive, rayandtaytoday.com. We might even get to a couple of emails today, even though we got a busy show. We still try to give the listeners and the people who write us on email a little shine on the show, a little light. So also, like always, very interactive, Twitter and Facebook, tweet at Ray and Tay Today. Ray, let them know how we're rocking on a great, busy Monday show.
So the operative word is busy, and we're going to get busy on this show. We've got a lot to talk about. So we're going to go around the world of sports with some breaking news. We'll talk a little college hoops. We'll talk some pro football injuries. We'll talk a couple of baseball items, some signings. Then we'll get into college football. We'll be talking about what happened this weekend, a couple of upsets in the BCS top five, some
great
BCS
games.
Realignment, maybe some people with a chance for a national championship. Auburn, go Tigers! The Iron Bowl next week. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got some Heisman hopefuls moving up and some Heisman hopefuls moving down based on last past week's performance. Then we'll be talking NFL. Week 12. Can you imagine week 12 in the NFL? It's not
almost over.
So we'll talk about this great game last night between Brady and Manning 14. We'll talk about the rest of the great games. We had a few divisional rivalries that went down to the wire. We had another couple of great games that were fourth quarter finishes. Then we'll preview the Monday night game tonight, critical game. San Francisco 49ers need this win against the Washington Redskins, who need to salvage their season. We'll talk about that, and then we'll end the show with Turkey football.
Gobble, gobble.
Three games. We got Cowboys and Raiders, Packers and Lions, and Steelers and Ravens. So huge, huge playoff implications with each of those games, with that AFC and NFC playoff picture being so muddled. There's the fight for the sixth seed. I don't remember this many teams after 11 weeks being in contention for those six seeds.
That sixth seed. We'll get to it.
Let's kick it off with the breaking news in the world of sports.
Let's go to the sad news and just get this out of the way. We don't want to talk about it during the NBA segment. Ray and Tay send out we tweeted like everybody over the weekend about D. Rose. Torn meniscus, he's having surgery, or he had it today. Looks like it was successful, but he's out for the rest of the season. I don't know what that does to the Bulls. I know they can't beat Miami in the East. They could still probably make the playoffs, Ray. But, you know, you said it to me off air. He's still young, but I don't know if he'll ever get back to the MVP status. So we definitely send our shout-outs to one of the best point guards in the league and just hope he can make it back again next season after rehab. You know, that hurts.
Yeah, that's
and
a
your
tough
boy,
one.
Oh, yeah. And your boy, Kobias, 2 years, worth $48.5 million, Ray. That's an extension. Does this mean maybe LeBron and or Melo or somebody will come over there with him? Because basically every other contract, including Gasol, is up. It's going to be fascinating what happens this NBA offseason again. It's like four or five off seasons in a row for the NBA, which has really hyped up the sport. You know, that's going to be fascinating. And why don't you tell us about the baseball stuff, man? We got some Yankee signings and some stuff in the works and trying to re-sign Cano. What's going on in New York? What did we do over the weekend, man?
So in New York, our Yankees signed a catcher, Brian McCann. And that sounds good on the surface because, you know, he's a catcher. He can hit lefty. But here's the issue. This guy was signed for 5 years at $19 million a year, so $85 million for 5 years. And last year he hit .256 with 20 homers and 57 RBIs, and the year before he hit .230 with 20 homers and 67 RBIs, playing 121 games in 2012 and 102 games last year. So I don't know about that. I mean, I like Brian McCann. I think he's a good player, but I don't know about signing him to 5 years and $85 million.
No, I agree with you. And, hey, look, now they're looking to sign Beltran, which, you know, they could have done, what, 6 years ago. And then they are trying to get a meeting with, I guess, Roc Nation, Jay-Z, and Robinson Cano. So, and I said this to you off air, we need pitching. Keep Cano. I know we needed a catcher. I don't know about Beltran, but honestly, we need pitching. So,
right.
I don't know.
All right, let me go through baseball. We got a couple other signings. So there was an interesting tweet done by your boy out there, Ziegler, Brad Ziegler, the reliever, because the St. Louis Cardinals signed Johnny Peralta. Remember Johnny Peralta, second baseman for the Detroit Tigers, who had a 50-game suspension for PED usage. And then Ziegler tweets out, thanks, GMs. It really pays to cheat, something to the effect of, you know, he's a cheater and he still gets paid. So this thing's not going to go away. You know, when players, like player-on-player crime, you know, when players start calling each other out, I mean, they can do it quietly amongst themselves, but when they start doing it in the media, you know that's just going to add more – that's just going to add more fuel to the fire.
And we got to find out what happens with the A-Rod fiasco. You know, enough about the baseball foolishness. Let's just get these NFL injuries out of the way so we don't talk about it during the thing. I just picked them up in fantasy football and real ball. Daniel Thomas, done, out for the season. Ankle, that's a shame. Now, your boy, Tamba Ali and Houston both got hurt in the Chiefs game, so we're waiting to find word. You know, wasn't so super, super bad, so there's a chance they both will play at home against Denver, an AFC West matchup. And Julius Thomas, who missed last night's game, we'll talk about that. We don't know if he'll be able to make it back. And then Aaron Rodgers probably is not going to be ready for the Thanksgiving game. So, you know.
Right, Moreno's got the bad ankle, it turns out.
Yes, he was on
Jack
crutches,
Del Rio said he's day-to-day. The Texans Griffin was suspended for his hit. So Michael Griffin was suspended for his hit on the Raiders tight end, Michael Rivera. Some of you know him as the brother of Naya Rivera from Glee.
Right.
Oh, you Gleeks
from
out
Glee,
there.
She's definitely a cutie, which is the rapper Big Sean's girlfriend. That's funny. I learned these things when you watch Arsenio Hall or TMZ, some foolishness. Anyway, let's go to college hoops real quick, man, before we, you know, slide to the NBA. It looks really nice and dominating. 56 votes for the number one position for Michigan State. You got Kansas at number two. You got Kentucky, who plays tonight, at number three, Arizona four. And then what I find fascinating is down at number five, it seems as if you're still getting first-place votes for Oklahoma State and our boy Marcus Smart. They got a first-place vote. So that's your top five, Duke 6, Ohio State 7, the Cuse, a lot of Cuse fans, 8, Louisville, who lost our Tar Heels over the weekend, 9, and who's this? Oh, Wisconsin. Oh, you know I like Wisconsin at 10. So
yeah, you got a little man crush
it's
on
early.
Line. know you do.
I got to give them love. And you know what I like? Wichita State is in the top. You know, they're 12, Gonzaga 11. So, you know, we'll be talking a lot of college hoops on this show. You know, we definitely last year had Seth Davis. We'll work on him again. Maybe some of these ESPN guys will join us, Greenberg or Jay Williams, Billis, somebody. But, hey, college hoops, it's still early, right? We still got to focus on the football and stuff like that. It's not quite over yet, but you always love college hoops. You know, the tournaments are starting over the Thanksgiving weekend, right? So we have the was it Alaskan Shootout, the tournament in Puerto Rico, the Hawaii tournament. So we got a couple of the tourneys that are going to be popping off. So let's do this, man. Let's talk NBA because it's a football heavy show, but we got to talk about the pros. Number one, we know about Rose and that situation, and that's a shame. But on the court, it's still the Pacers and Spurs and the way that they're playing ball that are sort of dominating the NBA right now. Would you sign up for a Pacers-Spurs chip?
I would, because I like the basketball that they both play. I don't know that they can – look, to be in the championship, you got to win three rounds in the conference first, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that the Spurs can do that again. I think ultimately one of these younger, more athletic teams will catch them, and they're
right.
Not big, so they can't physically impose their will. But yeah, I would love it. I'd love to see it. That's I don't even want to call it old school. That's just good basketball.
Quality basketball.
I like both of those teams, and I like how they play.
Yeah, physical basketball. So let's just go around the association. I think starting in the Eastern Conference, man, it's kind of a mess. But you know, I look at Toronto, and it's 6-7. They lead the Atlantic, and they're a 4 seed. And then you look at Philadelphia. In second place at 6-9, they're a 7 seed. You got to believe that the Knicks and the Nets, who are 3-9 and 3-10, you know, we lose to the Wizards on Saturday, the Knicks. These guys are still very much alive, but the basketball that's in the Eastern Conference right now, it's sort of depressing. Pacers are number one, the Bulls are the 5th seed. You know, this is off the season ended today. The Pistons, who are improved. I like that front line, you know, Josh Smith, Drummond, and our boy Greg Monroe, the 8th seed. And then over in the Southeast, you got the Heat, you know, second best record in the Eastern Conference, the Hawks, 3. And then you've got the Charlotte Bobcats at the 6th seed. Mikael Jordan could finally, and you know what's so funny? It's Josh McRoberts. And my boy Zeller, you know, and Kid Gilchrist, Kemba Walker. I mean, they're 7-7. Are you going to give the Bobcats and Clifford, their new head coach, Steve Clifford, and assistant coach Patrick Ewing, some love, Ray?
Negative. 14 games in, they're 7-7. So in this Eastern Conference, that's
disgusting.
Fairly, you know, impressive. That's a playoff team right now, like you said. But I can't really think that Charlotte's going to do anything meaningful this year. I
it's
hate
almost
their
depressing.
Roster. I just don't like their roster. You were telling
right.
me about their guys, but you know when you tell me that
Gerald
your best
Henderson's
player, what's that?
No, Gerald Henderson's just starting.
Who's your best player? Al Jefferson, I guess, when he's healthy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
no,
Al
see.
Jefferson.
And that's the thing. Yeah, they did sign a veteran scorer who Peter Vesey, friend of the show, when he was on our show, called Jefferson a black hole. But, you know, he can score. And look at the Hawks.
He can.
Getting Horford and Millsap and Teague and what the Hawks got, the Hawks, I mean, they're playing unselfish basketball. And, you know, are the 3rd seed in the Atlantic and the Eastern Conference. So kudos to them, you know.
Yeah, you know what? We might have to put the Eastern Conference on probation until
yeah,
they
let's,
win
let's
some
just
games.
Go to the West.
And they do, and they play some real ball because the real ball is being played west of the Mississippi, folks.
Woo!
This is what I want to talk
about. Say it again and say it loud. How about the number 2 seed in the West, the Portland Trailblazers, 12-2. I mean, we gave them love on Friday's show, but gosh, that's impressive. Obviously, Oklahoma City, they're starting to get it together. I really like this kid, Steven Adams. They're 9-3. They're doing really big things, and I think it's fascinating because they're starting to develop a good rotation with, you know, Thabo, who got banged up the other night. I don't know, you know, if he's, you know, still playing, but he, you know, still starts. And you got Lamb and Reggie Jackson coming off the bench, and Adams, you know, those are your first sort of three off the bench, and they're doing okay. You know, Percy Jones is starting to play, so we'll see if Durant and Westbrook can carry those young boys to do something. And then the Clippers, I mean, at 10-5, and they're sort of the fifth seed, the fourth seed. I like the Clippers, but, you know, the question is still always going to remain them and Golden State. And Bogut got suspended for one game. Will these guys be able to score against the Grizzlies and the Spurs and maybe even OKC, who plays wide open and they don't play a big post game, in the playoffs, you know? But give Blake Griffin some props, right? It looks like he's worked on his game more on the perimeter, though. You know, he's worked on his game, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, that team has the talent, that Clipper team, and if they can get anything meaningful out of DeAndre Jordan on offense and can figure out what to do in the fourth quarter, because obviously he's a liability with his free throws, and then get some productivity off the bench, I really like that Clipper team. I mean, you and I both talked about it in our preview show, and have the Clippers going to the finals.
To the chip?
Yeah, potentially, you know, Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals. So, to me, it's all about getting them ready for the playoffs, and what better hands could they be in than Doc Rivers' hands. So,
yeah.
You know, it's so funny. This Western Conference, I almost don't even want to draw too many conclusions because, you know, the Spurs always have a great regular season. And then, you know, are they going to get caught by being too old and too slow and too small? I mean, they got a little bit more athletic, and Bellinelli helps them, and obviously they have a couple of young stars now in Kawhi Leonard and I guess Bellinelli as kind of their young guys, and a couple middle-aged guys and a couple old guys, right? So I want to see the regular season, but ultimately it's like I really want to just fast forward to April. You know, I just want to start the playoffs already.
No, you want to grind it out. But wait a minute, I promised that we might do this. Let's do it. I got here in the email box. Let me take this one. This is Pierre from Nashville.
Oh,
you gotta like
Pierre
that.
Is a musician?
So Pierre asks, what's going on with his Memphis Grizzlies, who are now the number 8 seed at 7-6? Will the effects of trading Rudy Gay hurt them this year, or will they turn it around and be a top 5 seed in the West? Oh, all right. Thanks, Pierre. I hope Pierre gets the, you know, listens and is listening
Pierre
to us.
Pierre sounds like a jazz guitarist.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, he's from Nashville, so he's down there in Tennessee and maybe evidently a Memphis fan. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, the Grizzlies are the 8th seed right now, and they're 7-6. That's a good question. I mean, you know how I felt about the Rudy Gay trade, and they're not looking so hot.
I think they'll pull it together. I think Rudy Gay trade long run, I think they're better off with him. But you know what? It's done. So we went back and forth on this for a while, but they're without him, right? And they've been without him now for close to a year. So what I don't like about this team is that Mike Conley's scoring too much. So yeah. Mike Conley's leading the team at almost 20 a game. And I'd rather see Zach Randolph score more and maybe Marc Gasol. I'd like to see Zebo score a little bit more and maybe even get something out of the perimeter. So maybe Mike Miller,
Jared Bayless, somebody
on the perimeter, yeah. But I think this team is fine. I think this team is built to win a series or two in the playoffs and maybe even contend because they are a matchup problem. So they defend. They have two big men. They can pass. They can defend in the perimeter and defend on the post. So I really like this team. I don't know if Mike Conley is elite, but he's certainly a very good player, very good point guard. So don't worry.
Had a big player.
Your Grizzlies are fine. You just need them to get a 4-5 seed advance, and maybe they can shock a San Antonio like they did 2 years ago or an Oklahoma City. Like I said, they're a bad matchup for most teams. Maybe the Clippers are the only team that has the size to match up with them. But I like this Grizzly team, so don't worry. Hang in there, Pierre.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, you know, it's definitely that time. Let's bounce a little bit, give them a little bit of flavor, and we shall come back with some college college football.
College.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's that boy, Crazy Kill.
We're back, and we're back to talk college pigskin. So we had a good weekend, very exciting weekend.
Amazing.
We had a couple of top five teams go down. We had some teams move up. We had some Heisman movement. So let's get into it. First, let's start with the BCS top 10. Right?
Yeah, break that down.
And see what this means for January. So number one, Alabama. No surprise there. Number two, Florida State. No surprise there. Ohio State's number three. And then Auburn slides in there at number four, followed by Missouri at number five. Clemson sneaking back up there at number
six.
Yep. Oklahoma State beating the previously undefeated Baylor team moves to number seven. Stanford with two losses is number eight. Baylor, previously undefeated at number four, slides down to number nine.
And that
then
was my pick.
South Carolina at number 10. So it turns out that Alabama and Auburn, they play this weekend. The winner of that is going to be one side of the SEC championship, and the other side of the SEC championship is either going to be South Carolina or Missouri. So SEC has four teams in the top 10 that are going to run into each other twice or three times in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, the Iron Bowl is going to be legit. Just looking at the weekend, I want to talk about what's going to be interesting with the Pac-12 potential championship of Arizona State and Stanford. We got to salute ASU. I'm out here in the Phoenix area. They went to UCLA, and they put a spanking on them, and then UCLA comes storming back. Hundley, Arizona State gets nine sacks. Hundley was getting slaughtered. You know, George had said on our show and our segment, Reister's never wrong. You know, look, Hundley's, you know, the most sacked quarterback in the Pac-12 for the last two seasons, and it's true. You saw it on Saturday, but, you know, give Arizona State credit. You know, with the crowd hyped up and UCLA storming back, they held on and they won. And Taylor Kelly, you know, he's having him quite a season. And to be honest with you, as much as I love our boy David Shaw and the Stanford Cardinal, I think Arizona State in the rival game beats Arizona this weekend, and in the Pac-12 championship, they host Stanford. Now, I don't know if they can beat Stanford. We'll talk about it if it gets there, but I'm thinking that it's going to be ASU and Stanford to go to the Rose Bowl to meet the winner of Ohio State, Michigan State, because I don't think Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, even if they win, I don't think they're going to wind up going to play in the championship game. I think that's going to either be Bama versus Florida State or Bama, you know, versus maybe another team leapfrogging. I don't know who that team would be, because I guess if it's not
undefeated team, they would be the only undefeated team left.
But give Michigan State credit. I mean, they had a great win, And, you know, it seems like Northwestern's just been falling off the map. You know, they had a good season in the beginning, and they've been dropping. And now Ohio State, Michigan State, for the Big Ten fans, that's going to be a nice title game. And, you know, I got to say this, man. Give ACC is big for basketball, but they're having a pretty darn good college football season because look who's cracked the top 25, Ray. It's the Duke Blue Devils. You know, everybody talks about their quarterback coach because he works with the Manning brothers in their camp. I mean, their head coach. But, you know, right now you got to look at Duke as being a legit team and the ACC having, what, three teams in the top 25? So
yeah, they've got Duke, they got Clemson, and Florida State.
Yeah. So, and USC had another, you know, big win. So they're 23, UCLA. And this is what you notice, right, with the Pac-12 having a pretty dominating season and then the Big 12 being probably the third best. But that's why Stanford is 8 and still ahead of Baylor. And Baylor is only 2 behind Oak State. That's interesting. You know what I mean? And Oak State, look, I'll say when I'm wrong and I'll say when I'm right, but I got to be like, wow, Stillwell, stand tall, Oklahoma State, I love your jersey, the black and orange. That was a big win. And Bryce Petty, you dropped it. He had a chance. Let's talk about this Heisman. Bryce Petty had a chance there, Ray, to really shine. And with all these other guys and Winston, you know, had a good game, but, you know, all the controversy with going on with him and where he might not have a shot to even win the Heisman, Bryce Petty for Baylor did not show improve. And so now, who do you think? Do you like Jordan Lynch getting invited from Northern Illinois? Do you like Andre Williams, who's close to 2,000 yards rushing from Boston College, even though he's not playing the greatest competition? He's still playing, what, ACC? And, you know, he's faced some good teams.
Well, yeah,
who are you thinking?
Or
A.J. McCarron?
Johnny Manziel, I mean, he had a chance against LSU.
And
to really,
they did predict that one right. LSU, I said they'd win, but I didn't think they'd smack him. They smacked him, right?
It's probably, you know, he's only a sophomore, or he's a redshirt sophomore, so
that's
he's only played, what, 17, 18 games in college, or maybe a little more.
He's gone. He's gone, but also the coach might go. What do you think about that?
Sumlin, it's funny because Sumlin and Shaw are the two young, hot coaches in college right now.
I think
and
Shaw stays. Didn't you get that feeling when he was on our show that he's pretty – he's pretty loyal. I think he likes – it's not about loyalty, but let's be honest. I think he likes the program and the type of caliber of kids that he's getting at Stanford, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he also grew up around the NFL, so he's making an educated decision. Not that if Sumlin goes, it's not an educated decision, don't get me wrong, but this is a guy who's been both in college and in pro coaching, so he knows what he wants.
He's
now,
had a taste.
Exactly. He had a taste. Now, maybe he's trying to wait for the perfect job, right? Maybe he says, you know, let me stay another 10 years at Stanford, and then when they give me the coach with a little bit of GM, you know, responsibilities or at least player personnel responsibilities, if he wins a national championship at Stanford, maybe then he leaves. I don't know. But it seems like I take him at his word that he is a guy that's been exposed to both college and the NFL and prefers college right now at this point in his career. As for Sumlin, you know, good for him. If he gets a chance to go to the pros and he can take it, well, then good for him. He seems like he's a player's coach. I hope that he's not going because of an imminent, you know, probation issue a la Pete Carroll, where he leaves USC and then suddenly the hammer comes down on them. So I'm not saying that I even speculate this. I just hope that if he leaves the program, that the A&M program is fine and they'll be able to just replace him, you know, with another coach, and he doesn't leave them in shambles. It'd be terrible to now hear that, you know, they have recruiting violations for Jokel or for Manziel or people like that. So I hope it's not the case. But yeah, you know what? This is good because I think the pros need some new life, new coaching blood, and especially some of these innovators on offense, innovators on defense.
Right.
You know, I like to see that.
Yeah, the game's changing. The NFL is slowly changing. And it's fascinating to see sort of the end of the pocket quarterbacks, the, you know, the stoic Brady Mannings, and then you still got like a young Flacco or whatever, and even the Glennon kid. And then now you're getting Luck, RG3, Wilson, and Cam, and, you know, the young athletic guys who, even Terrell Pryor, who are really coming in and changing the game. So, obviously, we'll probably be back on, we'll probably be back with you guys Friday evening. So, you know, we'll preview the turkey games. But in college football, is Bama and Auburn, is that on Saturday, or is that a Thursday or Friday game?
No,
that's on Saturday. Okay,
the
we'll get to preview it. So look, the reality is everybody wants to talk about it, and we got to talk about it. Is there anything else you want to say on college football before we bounce to an amazing NFL weekend?
No, I think we can go from the Big 12.
Yeah,
I
think that's Saturday
to NFL Week 12. It's all
I'll
about
give Ohio
12.
State a little props, though, and I think Ohio State is biting at the gums to prove themselves against a tough Michigan State defense, but they might not really want to see them. But they got to get past Michigan. You know, that's a big game, what, November 30th, and us Michigan fans, go blue. We'll definitely be we'll be rooting them on, man. Maybe the Wolverines and Gardner got one last, you know, something in the tank.
Yeah, you go out with a smile if you beat Ohio State. Right? As bad as your season is, if you beat Ohio State, and conversely, if you're in Columbus and you're having a bad season, if you beat Michigan, that little bit of a smile on your face until next season.
I'll say this, just to wrap it up, though. I think if there's nothing with Winston, I think Winston over Manziel and McCarron and Jordan Lynch should be invited, and maybe even Andre Williams, got to give a running back love, not just quarterbacks. I think Winston should win the Heisman. I really do. I think, you know, you could say Taj Boyd and Bridgewater haven't had horrible seasons. You know, they've lost, but they still both played great. So, you know, you could still give them love. But I think Winston has been the one to shine this season in college football for the Heisman. So let's do it. We start. We'll do the AFC. It's a Monday. There's so much to talk about with the playoffs and the playoff picture. Brady Manning, 34-31. You got to love the start, the comeback, the controversies in the game, the finish. And Belichick takes the win. Maybe it's risky, but he says, you know what, my defense can hold Manning. He's not throwing it deep down the field. He didn't have a pass in the second half, Ray, completed past 10 yards. And I think that they missed Julius Thomas. I thought they would. We both, you and I, picked the Patriots, along with our boy, my son, Willie Beeman, who's in first place in the Pigskin Pick'em. I got to tell you, this kid, 85% of the time, William Truth versus the spread, ladies and gentlemen, a four-year-old is correct. So that's big. What's your feeling from this game? And I guess it's hard to say it means anything in Week 12, except for maybe the Patriots having Denver to come back through there again for the Super Bowl and the playoffs.
So here's the thing. I think the Patriots will likely be the number two seed. I actually think Denver's fine. I think they're going to end up being the number three seed. You know, you could look at the glasses half full from the Denver side and say, look, they were banged up a little bit. They didn't have their tight end, Julius Thomas. They went into New England and were up 24-0 at the half. So end the game right there, and they're by far the best team in the league. Now,
right.
The problem is on the
but
next 5 seconds, Brady scores, so that's knock number one is you didn't finish. But they ran for 280 yards. So even though you could argue Belichick gives you something and they took it,
that's still impressive
to run for 280 yards. So even though everybody's dwelling on the fact that Manning only threw for 150, well, you know what? They ran for 280, so he didn't have to throw for 300.
Yeah, but listen, he didn't. He's going to have to do more, and you know it and I know it. In the cold weather, and if they play each other again in the playoffs, he's going to have to step up and definitely give you more. I think anybody watching this will tell you that, you know, Manning can't just give you that because, you know what, Belichick said, hey, Moreno can't beat me. And he was right. Yeah, it went to overtime. And be honest, Denver had the luck of the – I mean, they got some breaks early on. And Welker, I mean, he did not have a big game coming home, and it was his fault with the punt. You got to make a decision and fair catch it, and or clearly, you know, let this guy know. Carter had, you know, the ball hit him, but he had no idea, you know. So it's not that it's a bad loss. And if Houston and Tamba Ali are out, you know, I think Denver could go to KC and win. But it wasn't, you know, too great. But, hey, Denver gets a break, right? Because let's talk about this. Phillip Rivers for 392, who would be our champ of the week if we were doing that segment. I mean, Phillip Rivers to anybody. I mean, he's throwing the guys. I can't even pronounce their last names, Ray. I mean, that last touchdown was amazing. What, are we Tui Tupu or whatever his name is? I mean,
don't Tui Tupu me.
Yo, listen, Eddie Royal, Keenan Allen, who is trying to house Eddie Lacy's spot for Rookie of the Year, the veteran Gates, Danny Woodhead with that diving touchdown early on in the game.
Get two.
Matthews is a little banged up. Yeah, he got two. I mean, tell me what you thought about, you know, I mean, listen, it's not like Alex Smith played bad because he had a good game and Jamaal Charles is the truth, but let's give the Chargers, who now are still alive, some buzz and some playoff love. What do you think about that Charger game in Kansas City?
First of all, I need to give Ajino Tutu a little love just because I wanted to say his name for no other reason. And
okay.
By the way, that third-round pick named Keenan Allen is going to be a heck of a player. Would have been a first-round pick had he not gotten injured. But this kid is a player, and this is the explosive receiver that they haven't had since Vincent Jackson. So,
right. Good
for Phillip Rivers, good for the Chargers. They're 5-6, but in the AFC, that's enough to be in the mix for that number six seed. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Ryan Matthews goes down, hurts them a little bit, but between Woodhead and Brown, they ran the ball enough to offset, you know, some of Kansas City's pass rush. Now, Kansas City losing in the same game, losing Houston and Tamba Ali was a big deal.
Brutal.
But you know what? Phillip Rivers spread the ball around, right? Keenan Allen had 9 receptions, but then Royal had 3, Green had 3, Woodhead had 3, Gates had 3. He spreads the ball around and is playing as well as he's played in the last few years. So, you know what? Watch out for the San Diego Charger team. I mean, the problem is 4 of their games. Now, they beat Kansas City, right? But 4 of their games against Denver and Kansas City. So that's tough.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, just looking at the back half of the AFC and some of these other games, big win. The Steelers, you know, in a very wild game as Cleveland was trying to, you know, come back. But we just got to talk about what Josh Gordon did. Steelers win 27-11. But, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you have Josh Gordon on your fantasy team, chances are – You won this week.
That's the quietest 230 yards ever.
Yeah, but you know what I like? And this is what I told you. I know you were upset about Cotchery, but look at this. Bell is legit, and Bell is running and pounding people, and that's what we got to do, sort of pounding ground. We know to steal away, and guess what? This offensive line, even though without having Pouncey, they're starting to realize we're pretty darn good. 23 rushes for 80 yards, and, you know, Bell was moving the chains. I like that a little bit from Felix Jones and Dwyer, but Brown and Sanders are getting open. Heath Miller, you know, a little screen pass to Bell out of the backfield. His hands aren't bad. And the Steelers right now, ladies and gentlemen, are very much alive. And Thursday night, they go to Baltimore, and I think they're not fearing Flacco. They're not fearing Ray Rice. And I think the Steelers are going to wind up quickly being 6-6, and they'll jump the Titans. You know, who Titans hold the tiebreaker. So right now, that's why the Titans have the sixth spot. But the winner of the Steelers-Ravens game will, you know, jump up into the sixth spot after Thursday night.
Yeah, I got to say that they're the odds-on favorite to take that number six spot, the winner of the game on Thursday. I would agree with that.
Yeah, no, definitely. But then this is what's fascinating. Yesterday, you saw an afternoon, another crazy game. The Tennessee Titans, 23-19. They go ahead, and your boy Kendall Wright with Ryan Fitzpatrick from Harvard
50.
Is still alive, Ray. He is 50. Still alive and well. And Chris Johnson is doing his little things here and there. You know, had a decent game, you know, 73 yards, you know, moving the chains. Delanie Walker has rejuvenated his career now. What do you think about the Titans and the rest of the way? I guess they have a good shot as well. As you know, the Titans, the remaining schedule, I think, do they play the Texans one more time, which I think, you know, now is a it might be sort of an easy win, but you got to be happy when you get 320 yards out of your backup quarterback, 30 for 42, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. What do you think about the Titans?
He's not a normal backup quarterback, right? He started in this league a little bit, so he's
yeah, no. Most of his career he was a starter. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
he's actually
50,
probably the best.
Man.
Him and McCown are probably the two best backup quarterbacks in the league, and,
so
you know, which has been good.
Okay, so here's the problem with
– right.
With the Tennessee Titans is that their schedule, right? The next three games are at Indy, at Denver, for Arizona. So they have to get through those three. If they can even go 1-2 in those three, 2-1 would be great.
Right.
But if they could go 1-2, then they finish up at Jacksonville and home for Houston. So let's say in a best-case scenario, they're 3-2. So will 8-8 get you into the
three?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. At 8-8, you can hope for a tiebreaker. At 7-9,
yeah.
You're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and see, and that's why I sort of like the Steelers. You know, I think the Steelers and the back end of the AFC, you're going to have the Steelers and Chargers, you know, really going after each other for those spots. And you know what? We got to take some time out to just salute the Jacksonville Jaguars to go into Houston, and Houston is just. It feel like grown men have quit, and 13-6, and it was just disgusting. Maurice Jones-Drew, Cecil Shorts, these guys played some ball. Give them credit. Give Gus Bradley credit, because you know what? They've got the same record, right, as the Texans, and nobody would have thought that. I mean, that to me, for that Jaguar team, with the way they've played, now 2-9, it's really embarrassing, and I think Kubiak's head is on the chopping block. I got to be honest with you. To be 1-5 at home, they better win that last week against the Titans. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think he's probably not going to last past this season, Kubiak, regardless of what they do down the
Do you
stretch.
Go forward with Case Keenum? Is Case Keenum your quarterback? Because I don't think you can go back to shop now.
Ever? Or this year?
Forget this year. You let Keenum finish it out. I think it's Keenum's team. If you like him, right? And now let's say they're going to be a top six pick. Their first round pick, to me, the Texans have either got to go secondary or offensive line. And, you know, whether you go with Tate or Foster or this new young kid, Dennis Johnson, no relation, I don't think, to the great point guard DJ of the Sonics and Celtics, but Dennis Johnson had 74 yards on 13 carries, so I think all the Texans need, Kashab and Keenum both have been running for their lives. You get one more offensive lineman, and, you know, maybe your second-round pick, you get a legit corner. And the Texans are a solid team. You like Hopkins, Owen Daniels, and Graham at the tight end when he comes back healthy, Daniels. And Andre Johnson, you know, he might not like it, but he said, hey, I got to finish out my contract here. So he's back. So
now, hindsight is always 20-20. But think about if the Houston Texans had made that full-court press for Peyton Manning. Remember how they said they were one of the finalists?
Yeah.
And Peyton would have loved it, I would imagine, being from New Orleans, playing inside in a dome in the AFC South, a division that he
in
knows.
In the warmth.
Yep, in the warmth of Reliance
Stadium. Keep it real.
Stadium.
He probably should have gone. He probably should have gone to Houston.
Well,
I wonder.
Houston, I don't know if they wanted to save face with Matt Shaw, but Houston, I don't know that Houston courted him as hard as Denver did.
No, and I think you're going to listen to Elway more than you are, you know, McNair or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's hard to turn down Elway. You know what I mean? I think that he did the right thing, and he just, you know, hey. So, look, The AFC is what it is. I mean, there's a bunch of teams, you know, alive, you know, at four and six. I mean, at 5-6, and a couple teams at 4-7. I don't think the Raiders or, you know, these other teams really have a shot. So I think it's the Steelers, Ravens, Chargers, the Jets. Let's talk about the Jets. The Ravens.
Let's not. The Jets are terrible.
I guess they're done.
They were 5-5, misleading everybody into thinking they're a 500
team. But give them credit. They've overplayed what anybody thought. Nobody thought they'd even have 5 wins, and the game season's not over. And, you know, we also, you know, and we're going to probably start a new segment, Doing More with Less, where, you know, hey, Geno, a la like Phillip Rivers and Allen Iverson, who have done so much with so little, Geno's got nothing. He's got nobody to throw to. And so if you're being fair, it's a bad situation there. Definitely a bad situation for, you know, the Jets and that offense. So you got to believe their future it's only going to get better. So let's go to the NFC. I mean,
how about
starting with
Cowboys?
The Sunday. Yeah, we got to start with it. You were right. You were right. I was wrong. You know what? You thought the Giants, you know what? Maybe the bye week, you know, maybe the momentum, you know, it just sort of froze the Giants. The Cowboys, that was a good win. And sometimes you think the play calling for the Giants, Kevin Gilbride, there were some plays that I just don't understand. At third down, you don't run it. You got to pass it, try to get an end zone. And Witten and Dez Bryant, what did Dez wind up doing? 9 for like 104, 106?
Yeah.
He helped me to beat Hank in our Real Ball Fantasy Football League. Taylor Made finally gets a W. And you know what? We get on Romo. Well, today, I got to salute Romo. Great clock management, great playing. He played smart, and he got the ball where he needed to get it. And also, DeMarco Murray's back. And look pretty good. What are your thoughts about your team, man? But they couldn't stop Andre Brown. Andre Brown, 127, was a problem on 21 carries.
Yeah, they still have problems on defense.
Defensively,
I'm surprised the Giants only scored 21.
I know.
But you know what?
It's a good win.
They did hold Eli to 174 yards passing. But Tony Romo, in the cold, in the, you know, not so great elements.
And they swept them now, right? For the
stadium.
Season. They swept them.
Yep, swept them, which means that the Giants are officially eliminated from the NFC East picture, and it really comes down to Cowboys and Eagles.
You think they're totally
done?
You think it's just Cowboys and Eagles? You don't
think
they have a shot at all?
I don't think with 7 losses in the NFC where they've got – you have too many teams. You have – too many teams ahead of you. So first you have the Giants and the Eagles, and the Cowboys, right? If they finish with the Cowboys have a 2-game lead now, and the Cowboys have – it's really a 3-game lead because the Cowboys beat you head-to-head. So they beat you 2-0. So they can't catch the Cowboys. So
the Eagles got a tough game. I think, next week I think they're playing – they're hosting the Cardinals, right? So that's not going to be any easy game. And then you don't know, I guess, even if the Redskins win tonight, I guess it's too much to climb. Because you're battling with, right, so the Saints-Panthers loser is definitely a wild card. But then you've got the Cardinals, the Niners who could catch up tonight. Don't sleep, ladies and gentlemen, the 5-6 Rams with Kellen Clemens are alive. And then the 3 teams, which are just giving it all up, in the NFC North. So you got the Lions 6-5, the Bears 6-5, and you don't know if Cutler will make it back with McNown, and their defense is actually suspect. And then the Packers and Vikings tie, so now the Packers probably won't have Aaron Rodgers back for Thanksgiving. It'll probably be next week. They're 5-5-1. So, I mean, it's hard to project out, but I guess if you're looking for the second wild card, right now it could be the Arizona Cardinals.
What?
Wow, my son Elijah would love that one. Kurt Warner, stand up. All the Cardinals fans out there in Arizona, this is the year for Arizona, right? The Suns are playing ball, ASU, and the Arizona Cardinals. Wow, you got to love it. You got to love it, Ray.
To Arizona. Didn't somebody say that?
Exactly, right? Our boy Chuck D. Let's give the Rams some love. They spanked the Bears at home, 42-21. We didn't get to predict the show Friday on the air, but I definitely thought the Rams had a shot at the upset, but let's be honest, neither one of us thought the Rams would smack them like this. What do you think about the Rams, Fisher's job, the defense, and these young players like Austin and Stacy and Cunningham? What are your thoughts with the Rams?
So, you know what? Jeff Fisher is just a veteran. He's out there peddling, getting as much out of his players as he can. If you tell me that your number one pick, now granted he's not Andrew Luck and he's not, you know, RG3, he's not Peyton Manning, but if you tell me that your number one passer goes down, right, that being Sam Bradford, you tell me that you lose your best player in Steven Jackson, you tell me that you've got Austin Pettis and you've got Tavon Austin and Pettis as your receivers, and you've got a, frankly, an underachieving Cook as your tight end, you're thinking to yourself, wow, this team on offense is really, really struggling. Now, you know that our boy Fisher's a defensive coach, so he's going to get the most out of them defensively. So, you know what? Kudos to them. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're 5-6. I think it's too much of an uphill battle. And also their schedule, they play Chicago. I mean, they beat Chicago, right? But they play San Fran at San Fran, Arizona at Arizona, host New Orleans. Oh, by the way, they get a quick, easy game, although they're playing much better now, Tampa Bay. And then they finish the season at Seattle. But
You come back next season. But listen, you got a lot to build on, and I guess that season might be Sam Bradford's last season. And I tell you this, you go get him a number one receiver, and then things could change for them. Because guess who's going to the Pro Bowl? Robert Quinn, who had a defensive touchdown. He's been playing great.
Oh,
the
Pro Bowl voting's going on.
Chris Long's playing good. Janoris Jenkins. So the Rams are definitely. And wait, you know one thing we forgot in the AFC? We gotta mention them. Not the Bills, but the Dolphins. They're still very much alive with the Jets at 5-6. You know, only one game behind, or actually right there tied with all the other teams for that second wild card. So it's the Tennessee, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Jets and the Dolphins. So the Dolphins, even though it was a bad loss, which we're about to talk about, the 7-in-a-row Carolina Panthers, the Dolphins are still alive. I don't think it will happen. But let's talk about Cam Newton.
Cam, listen,
Ray, I know he didn't play good, but I think even it's time for you to tip your hat to Cam, because in his third season, with all the scrutiny, and another guy doing more with less, let's be honest, Steve Smith at this age, he's a trooper and he's great, but he's a number two receiver. He's not a number one anymore. And Brandon LaFell and Greg Olsen, they're both like a three and almost not a – I don't want to say Greg Olsen's a backup tight end, but he's not an explosive top six tight end anymore. He's more, you know, second tier. He's not better than Martellus Bennett, I'll say that. But you do like the backs and the three-headed monster and Tolbert, Stewart, and Williams. And the Panthers keep rolling. The 9-2 Saints, who started off the week beating the Falcons, they got their hands full with the Carolina Panthers. What are you thinking with what happens in this division and who potentially still could get this number one seed?
I tell you what, I owe Cam an apology. What's his full name? Cameron? Cameron Newton. I apologize. I disrespected you. Look, I still don't love him, and I still don't love his game, and I don't want him as my – I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, like lead me to the Super Bowl franchise quarterback, but I can't knock a quarterback for winning, and I can't knock a quarterback for playing. And the guy was spitting up blood. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Cam, he's a
trooper, man.
Hit him, and they're going to send that file to the NFL to get – you know, maybe Cameron Wake is going to get a couple tens of thousands of dollars taken away from him. But he drills him in the chest. He's spitting up blood. The guy hasn't missed a game. And he drives him downfield, like you said, with below-average offensive talent around him. Even though I thought that their running game would be great between him and Tolbert and Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams.
And it's okay.
But you know what? 7-in-a-row. And Ron Rivera hasn't played defense, and Cam is doing enough to win. And I like how they're winning. They're winning close games. They're winning tight games. They're winning ugly games. That's
turnover margin.
Football.
Yeah. They are playing playoff football. You're right about that. And you know what? I got to say, where they are playing playoff football, you look to a team like the Detroit Lions. Ray, tell me, how do you lose at home 24-21 to a team that's really playing for nothing with a rookie quarterback and, you know, a lot of, what, the third or fourth string running back? How does Tampa Bay go to Detroit and beat the Detroit Lions? You can't tell me, and I'm sorry, Lions fans, and we've, you know, our friends at our show, Nick has called in from Detroit, and some Lions fans have written us. Schwartz has got to go. I'm sorry. I think he's so overrated. He's held this team back, and congrats to Nick Burleson. He's no longer getting hurt from saving pizzas. He's back catching touchdowns.
Yeah, Nick Burleson got me on fantasy. Playing Flash, Mark McCloud. He picked him up on Saturday. Picked up Burleson. He gave him 20 points.
Hey, so talk to me, man. Tell me, are you gotta think Glennon? He might be the quarterback of the future. Maybe he saves Shiano's job. What do you think?
Well, I think they might
He's
need some regime
good.
Change over there too.
Yeah, I do.
Keep
but
Glennon. And by the way, you know, give the GM some credit. I mean, Bobby Rainey, who I picked up, didn't really do much this week. But between
he's good though.
Rainey and
James. Mike James.
And of course Dougie Fresh Martin when he comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had three legit.
They have a
three
hitter monster now. Yeah.
They do. And then Mike Williams, Taquan Underwood and your boy Vincent Jackson.
That's
Mike
a nice
Glennon has
and then
weapons.
Tim Wright at tight end. Wait a minute. Tim Wright at tight end is a young, athletic, young tight end. Look,
yes.
It's so funny, right? The Tampa Bay could go from worst to first, or maybe not worst because like, it's going to be the Falcons, but I think the Buccaneers, they're going to look, you know, the defense is solid. So I think, and a shout out to Revis. We hope he's okay. You know, he got hurt, but I do actually like this Bucs team for next season.
All right, so Detroit, I think they're still in the mix. They have a chance. They just, they're so
by
inconsistent
default.
Week to week. But you know what?
Yeah.
We need to go flip mode. We need to go from review mode to preview mode.
Preview mode.
So what do you think about this game
tonight
with the 49ers visiting the Redskins? Both teams need this win for different reasons, obviously. But let me hear your thoughts about this game tonight.
Well, real quick, I'll just say this. Kaepernick is his third season, but playing-wise, it's his second season. So I think he's having a sophomore blues. He's still got to figure some things out. And RG3 is having sophomore blues. So it's whoever can play the blues better is going to win the game. And I actually think the Niners just have a little bit too much defense for the Redskins. I think if they lock Morris down, they might get RG3 in trouble. You know, I don't wish anybody to get knocked out or anything, but I just think that the Niners are going to be able to squeak out a tough game. But I think the Redskins are going to play a lot better than people think. And I could see them actually upsetting the Niners. But I'll go not super high scoring. I'll go 23-21. The Niners and Bolden and Davis and Frank Gore take care of the Skins.
Wow. I have to believe that the San Francisco 49ers are not going to go and end up being a 6-5 team. I think they'll win this game and go 7-4. Ultimately, they're the better team on paper. I think that with a little bit of Colin Kaepernick magic, they can score some points. They've got to hold down Alfred Morris. You know, Washington's leading the league in rushing. So I think if they hold Morris in check, you don't have to hold him to 50 yards. If you hold him to 90 yards, you'll be okay. I think, like you do, that the Niners win. I think they put up some points. I think they'll win 27-23.
Okay, so let's go to Thursday. We'll start off with the early game, which is always in Detroit. You've got the Packers and the Lions. This is sort of for the division, but I think the winner of this division, you know, forget the Packers tie, but the winner of this division, they could win it with maybe nine games. So I got to believe the Lions are going to turn it around at home. They're not going to lose 2 weeks in a row at home. Packers look good. I don't know if Lacy's banged up enough, you know, that he doesn't play, but I think Lacy's a little banged up. And the Packers need Aaron Rodgers, but it's going to be 1 week too late. Matt Flynn, if he's playing the whole game and not Tolzien, I'd actually go with Tolzien. I think the Lions win on Turkey Day. I'll go 26-23, Lions win.
Wow, okay. I want the Packers to be competitive, and I want this to be a good game. And I think it might be for the first half, but I think the Lions at home on Turkey Day pull away.
Reggie
I think
Bush.
They win, yeah, 31-23.
31-23. All right. So the afternoon turkey game. So when your belly is, you know, for people who eat late, you're sort of eating and you're watching them Cowboys, or for those who eat early, you're sort of digesting a little bit and maybe you want that pie, and you say, can Tony Romo handle the Raiders with Matt McGloin from Penn State? Well, I think it's too much for the Raiders. I think Tennessee is going to put them in a tailspin from that loss at home. They travel in a short week to the Cowboys. And it's not win one, lose one for the Cowboys this time around. I think they handle success. I think DeMarco Murray, LaFleur, Witten, and Des Bryant, and maybe Williams and Austin do something. I got the Cowboys winning 27-17. Over the Raiders.
Okay, I can't disagree with that either. I think that the Cowboys looked pretty good last week. I wouldn't be surprised if they go 500 from now until the end of the season, but I don't think the Raiders have enough on Thanksgiving to come in and upset the Cowboys. So I think the Cowboys take care of business. I think they put up a good number, 30, and I think they hold the Raiders to 20.
Okay, and then the new tradition, the third game. And it's on NBC. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to the Baltimore Ravens. 5-6. And you got to believe the winner of this should be in the driver's seat for the second AFC wild card. They'll still be battling with the Dolphins, Jets, and Chargers, but they should be in the driver's seat. Well, I'm not going to just be a homer. I actually think even though the Ravens beat the Jets, I wasn't that impressed. I just think that Ray Rice is having a bad season. The O-line is not great. Flacco's making some bad mistakes. And if you lock down Torrey Smith, and the Steelers have been doing pretty good this season defensively, top 10 defense, I think the Steelers in a hard, you know, it's always a hard-hitting game in the AFC North, one of the best hitting divisions and probably one of the best divisions. Now the NFC West is probably the best division of football. But I'll say this to say, look, Big Ben is back, Le'Veon Bell, big game, and my Steelers win on Thursday Night Football 20-16.
How about them Steelers?
Here we go,
man.
Pittsburgh. Here we go. Sorry, Stacey, your Ravens are going down, player.
You know what?
You feel it. I know you feel it. Be honest with yourself.
Oh,
be a
no. You know what?
Child.
I'm taking the other side of that. I'm going to say
Pittsburgh
won a few in a row.
Man.
And now Baltimore, who, you know, these two teams punch themselves in the mouth constantly. So I'm going to say at M&T Bank Stadium that Baltimore does just enough. They bite the nail and they win 23-21. How about those Ravens? Joe Flacco earns his $20 million contract.
Fans, he's just saying this just to mess with Ray, just to mess with Tay. I don't think you believe that in your heart.
No, I
believe
it.
All right, so cool. So we agree on the first two games, and then we disagree on the Steelers. So, look, great show. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have fun. Don't eat too much. But you know what? It's the one day of the year where you're allowed to act a fool. Eat as much as you want. And, you know, Ray and Tay, we send out our love to all the families out there. And, you know, we're going to send some turkeys to those who don't have. But we'll be back Friday. Probably Friday a little bit late. You know, maybe 6 or 8 Eastern. We'll be here to give you the week, the rest of the week of week 13 of the NFL. So.
Had a great time. Thanks for hanging with us. And we'll
yeah,
see
man.
You right after Thanksgiving. Ray and Tay today, gobble, gobble, talking sports
with friends. Peace.
Thank you, see notes. Thank you, see notes. I gotta see. I gotta see.